Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life, busy schedule, to join me on the broadcast. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2020, and it seems like here in Florissant, where I live, summer is having a big last hurrah before we head into the fall season. It's going to be plus 95 most of the week. I love this weather. I don't like fall weather. I love hot summer weather. I love the joy, the experience of summer. But that's going to soon come to an end. This morning on the broadcast, I want to talk about a very famous lady. She is a hero to me. Her story is in my last book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. I'm speaking about Nazreen Sotouda, and I want to share her incredible story with you. And she has been a champion for human rights in Iran, and because she's a human rights advocate and lawyer, the government has been fierce with her. They want to shut her down. And just recently, since she's been in prison, they have now began the attack on her family. And I want to talk about her daughter, Mareva, what they're doing in the case of her daughter. The headlines from the article, Human Rights in Iran, is Nazreen Sotouda's daughter detained, persecution of imprisoned lawyers, family intensify. This happened just a few days ago on August 18th. Mareva Kanadin, that's her last name, the 20-year-old daughter of imprisoned human rights lawyer Nazreen Sotouda, was arrested at her home in Tehran on August 17th and detained in order to force her mother to end her hunger strike in Evin prison. And that's reported by the Center for Human Rights in Iran. She was arrested without prior notice on the spurious charges of, quote, insult and assault, and subsequently released on bail. The Iranian authorities haven't been able to silence Nazreen Sotouda nor end her brave protest in prison. So now, what are they doing? They're going after her daughter on the outside. That's according to Hadi Ghami, CHRI Executive Director for Human Rights in Iran. He says the international community should forcefully condemn this thuggish and unlawful behavior. CHRI calls on the authorities in Iran to immediately drop all charges against Mareva Kanadin and to cease punishing the family of Nazreen Sotouda in order to silence her. What have they not done to this poor woman? Recently, they blocked her bank account, cutting off funds to her family. These are thugs. Nazreen said she was expecting the authorities would do something like this so she would drop her demands, but she absolutely will not. That's according to her husband, Reza Kanadin. He said in an interview with Human Rights in Iran. In a phone call from Evan Prison, where Satuta is serving a long prison sentence on sham national security charges, she said she would continue her hunger strike that began on August 11th. Why is she doing this? To demand the release of political prisoners threatened by the COVID-19 crisis. The virus is spreading throughout the prisons, and it's affecting those in prison. Now, at one point, the government did release some prisoners, but there's still way too many that are being compromised. Because of her hunger strike, Nazreen has become very weak, and she's lost a significant amount of weight. She's done this before, many times since she's been in prison. It was just this past Thursday night she became very sick, but didn't go to the clinic because of its condition and the COVID situation. What good would it do? She's sick because of the hunger strike. If she goes to the clinic, which is run rampant with this virus, she'll get even sicker. Now, 12 political prisoners recently tested positive for the virus at Evans Prison Ward Number 8. Only one was hospitalized, while the rest have not yet received proper medical care. But remember, only 17 prisoners were tested. Many more have displayed symptoms. With no separation of ill prisoners, you're all boxed together, there is concern that many more have contracted the virus. There was no prior warning or warrant, Nazreen's husband told CHRI. All of a sudden, five agents showed up today in two cars and a taxi. I thought they came to arrest me, but then I saw Mareva's name on a folder, and the agents said they had a warrant for her arrest. I said, on what charge? They said they were not obliged to tell me, but did me a favor and said the arrest warrant is for insult and assault. Now, Reza, that's his name, added that he went to Evan Revolutionary Court where his daughter was being formally charged. He wasn't allowed inside. One of his lawyers posted 100 million tomans. That's $23,000 in U.S. money. He posted that much money on her behalf and gained her release. Now, according to Reza Kanadin, the charges against his daughter are in connection with an incident with a female prison guard about a year ago. There's always tension in the visiting hall, especially in the area for face-to-face meetings, Reza said. The guards always harass prisoners and visitors about their clothes or object when we say hello to other prisoners or even look at them. The female guards, well, they're much more sensitive. Male guards give warnings or hurl insults once in a while, but the female guards often interfere and scold you about every little thing. So there's always a lot of tension, and it's always their fault because they come close to the family tables and inevitably they complain. They find something to complain about, Reza says. It was during one of these quarrels that one of the female guards felt insulted and lodged a complaint against Mareva. Even if the two got into a physical fight, which they did not, it should have been treated as a fight between two people with warrants issued in advance followed by a trial. So what is all of this being done for? Nazreen Satuta, stop your hunger strike. Shut up. And this is what they're doing. They're focusing in on her daughter. And in doing this, they're saying to her through the arresting her daughter and harassing her daughter, stop your hunger strike. The way they do it is put pressure on her and intimidate the family. And so I just want to share with you why Nazreen is behind bars, what is going on, what has caused her imprisonment. She's doing the hunger strike because of the COVID crisis. That's for sure. But I want to talk to you more about her story and how she got there from my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. And here is Nazreen Satuta's story. The Bible exhorts us to be a voice for the voiceless, to stand up and defend the helpless and the oppressed. And whenever I'm meditating on this scripture, I immediately think of Nazreen Satuta, an Iranian lawyer who is a champion of human rights. She represents the women who remove their veils and cry out for choice She represents the families of juveniles who are put to death. And she represents the millions of desperate activists who are imprisoned for standing up to a dictatorship government for freedom of speech and religion. Back on June 13, 2018, Nazreen and her husband Reza were arrested together at their home and transferred to Evan Prison. Well, Nazreen is no stranger to prison bars. It is hard to believe that a practicing attorney is put in jail for defending human rights. But in Iran, human rights is an oxymoron. The Iranian regime has no individual freedom or human rights. Under Sharia law, it is either obey or be disciplined. Recently, and this was back in 2018, Nazreen had publicly criticized the government's new rule of restricting the rights of activists and dissidents from hiring an independent lawyer. The rule stated that only a government-appointed lawyer would be expected or accepted, and Nazreen dared to challenge the system. Prior to her arrest, Nazreen had been busy defending the girls of Revolution Street for publicly removing their veils during the December 2017 uprising. The government lashed out on the women, charging them with encouraging immorality and prostitution, charges that carried 10-year prison sentences. Nazreen objected to the charges, stating that the women had a right to protest, which brought down the wrath of the regime upon her. Prior to her current incarceration, Nazreen was arrested in 2011 for defending the protesters of the Green Movement, which criticized the government in what they believed was a stuffed ballot box in the fraudulent re-election of Ahmadinejad in 2009. It was during this imprisonment that Nazreen went on a 49-day hunger strike protesting the unjust travel restrictions put on her two children. After a long and difficult battle, which nearly, by the way, took her life, the government relinquished their restrictions and Nazreen emerged weak and exhausted, but victorious. A year later in 2013, when Hassan Rouhani became president, he pardoned Nazreen and she was finally free to rejoin her family. However, the regime removed her license to practice law, and even though she was free from prison bars, Nazreen wasn't free to resume the passion of her life in defending the voiceless. "I was released," Nazreen proclaimed, "but I was not freed. For me, this sort of freedom is meaningless when my friends are still in prison." For Nazreen, freedom is only true freedom when those she has represented can finally go free from the hell they are living in. The U.S. State Department, in response to her recent arrest, along with her husband Reza, spoke out against her unjust imprisonment. "We applaud Ms. Satuda's bravery and her fight for long-suffering victims of the regime. We call on Iranian authorities to release her immediately, along with the hundreds of others who are in prison simply for expressing their views and desires for a better life." Proverbs 31:8 commands us to be a voice for the voiceless. Nazreen has spent her life standing up for the downtrodden and oppressed, and now it's your turn and my turn to be a voice for her. I just wanted to share this story from my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. What a champion for human rights Nazreen Satuda is. What a courageous lady she is. She is really a hero to me, and I ask that you would just take some time today to remember her in your prayers and share this broadcast on your page and share her story on your page that I'm going to put up later to get her story out and bring awareness for the kind of woman and the champion she is for human rights. When I think about this kind of persecution and the hunger strike that Nazreen is going on, I immediately think of a passage of scripture also that deals with food, that deals with the necessity of food for our bodily nourishment, the kind of food that we enjoy, that we crave, that we love so much. With me, it's easy. It's spaghetti. And when I think of food and the craving and the necessity for it, I think of the words of Jesus, who declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Well, why is Jesus called the bread of life? Well, there's a lot of figurative and literary language that exists many places in the Bible, from the poetry in the Psalms to the parables of Jesus. Imagery and metaphor are a part of how God speaks to the world in his word. It communicates heavenly concepts that sometimes are difficult to put into words. After feeding 5,000 men plus women, Jesus speaks to the crowd again, this time offering them a different kind of bread than manna, one that would never rot and would always keep them filled. When the people asked for this bread, the Bible records that Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Well, this bread of life is not physical bread, but the bread of spiritual renewal found in the salvation of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, when you read the Gospel of John, one of the themes in the book of John is who Jesus is, not just what he did. And the Apostle John opens his account of Jesus with an explanation of his deity. And chapter 6 of John's Gospel, he focuses it on one of the miracles of Jesus. Jesus did miracles of healings. He taught these scriptures with authority, and there would be people that would throng after him. And one of those incidents, the Lord takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeds thousands of people with it. With 12 baskets left over, it's a miracle. That night he walks on water. The next day, the same thousands gather again to be fed. Jesus then offers them salvation, eternal nourishment, rather than just temporary substance. He says in John chapter 6, verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So this is talking about something more nourishing than just common bread. It's an offer for eternal life. And this is what Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples that follow him. Bread is one of the essential foods of cultures all around the world. It's a staple in many diets. It's been one of the most accessible food for people of all wealth and social status. And it's a necessity. But salvation is even more important. The nourishment that Jesus wants to give us and satisfy us with is himself. And he uses the metaphor of bread and the miracle of the fishes and loaves to point to a greater reality, that salvation in Christ, forgiveness of sins, is the most important bread of life that he wants to give you and me. And that's why Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." He is your satisfaction. He is your true spiritual nourishment. In him, we are satisfied. And this is the song I want to play for you right now by Chris Tomlin.
I count my blessings one by one, your goodness in my life. How could I ask for more? In you I'm satisfied. All the mountains that I now and you before, I count my blessings one.
powerful Christian worship music, that is, of Chris Tomlin and a song entitled Satisfied from Holy Roar. It's a very important song because it's amplifying on what I've been sharing with you this morning about Jesus being that bread of life. What do we find our satisfaction in? All of us find satisfaction in many things. With me, I have the satisfaction of doing this program, of writing books. I find satisfaction in food, in the eating of spaghetti. Those are the things I'm passionate about. Those are the things that drive me. But ultimately, what I'm referring to this morning is the ultimate satisfaction. The ultimate joy we should find is in Christ, because he satisfies our needs, our spiritual needs. And Jesus removes the scars, the stain of sin. He cleanses our heart of guilt and shame. He removes God's wrath against us by dying in our place and becoming our sinless substitute. And Jesus comes into our hearts and satisfies so many things that are so far more important than job and career and food. And the Lord wants us to enjoy those things, don't misunderstand me. He does. But our ultimate hope and our ultimate satisfaction is found in him. During this COVID crisis, when many of us have been on death's door, at that point, we have found our ultimate hope and satisfaction in Christ, because there's nothing else or no one in this world that can meet our needs and help us at that point than Jesus. And so because of this virus, many of us have been shifted away from material things and other things that are not as important, and our hearts and minds are focused on Jesus, who is our hope, our eternal life, our forgiveness, our freedom. And so one of the things this crisis of COVID, this virus has done, is that it's taken our eyes away from those temporal things that we enjoy and putting our ultimate hope and satisfaction in on the bread of life, Jesus. If today you don't have that hope or that satisfaction, I persuade you, come to Christ. Find that hope and freedom that thousands and even millions of Iranians have found in the underground house church movement. So many of them have turned away from any mention of Islam. They look at Islam, they look at any religion, and they find hopelessness, persecution, violence. But so many of them say, when I come to Christ, I have a peace and a hope and a forgiveness that I have never found in any religion before. And that is why Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And he's speaking spiritually, of course, that he is saying in so many words, I am that bread of life that will satisfy every one of your spiritual needs, your spiritual hunger, your spiritual thirst. And today, Jesus is speaking to you. He is calling out to you. He is making this claim. He is saying to you, in this world, you will look for satisfaction in all of the wrong places, and you'll never find it until you come to me, because I am the bread of life. I am exactly what you need and what will satisfy you. I am the way, the truth, and life. This is who Jesus is. And Jesus is calling out to you this morning and offering you the greatest gift he can offer you, and that is eternal life and forgiveness of sins. He is the hope and the freedom that Iranians are looking for, and Iranians find their hope and their freedom when they come to Jesus. And so this morning, if that's you I'm speaking to, please cry out to Jesus. Please come to him and surrender your life. He will give you a hope and a freedom and a satisfaction that this world can never give to you. I know, because I've tasted the Lord, and he is good. He is satisfying. I want to say God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible week.